In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with the Luisa and the Kingdom and the Divine Will, part two. And, you know, there's a lot of doom and gloom out there. And if we know our goal is the kingdom. And the reason we're here on earth is to prove to Jesus that we want to live in the kingdom. And knowing this is our goal, we can go through anything. We can go through anything that we need to go through in order to really begin to live this abundant life. This is the thing that our God is asking of us. So in volume 19:8, 31, 19:26, how many things there are in my will that I must give to creatures? So this is our God wants to give us everything that he has planned from the beginning of time. But he says, in order for this to happen, they have to come into its kingdom in order to receive them. So a lot of people are wanting it now, but Jesus says, you have to be into my kingdom to receive all that I have planned for humanity. You know, that's basically, if you want to say paradise, we have to get back to Eden. We have to get back into paradise to receive all these blessings. And what the divine will is a ticket. It's like an invitation to enter into this gift. Oh, how many things my holy divine will basically wants to. Oh, how many things my divine will keeps prepared and has established to give to the soul who wants to live in its kingdom. So here, this gift that God wants to give to humanity, this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, he has planned to give to all of humanity, and he needs us to cooperate to begin to live this abundant life. So he says, under its liberal and sweet regime, how many things I have prepared and established to give to the soul who wants to live in its kingdom. And what Jesus tells us is this kingdom is a new and divine way of holiness that he has not given to anyone. He's given to Adam. His mother lived it, Our Lady, Mother and Queen of Heaven and Earth. She's the Theotokos. She's the Mother of God. This is something that we will all begin to embrace when the kingdom is established. Now, all the gifts that are coming, like, for example, Jesus promises that through the Holy Priesthood, that he says he's going to change. He says, I'm going to make it the way I wanted it from the beginning. Since, you know, we have been redeemed for 2,000 years, but we still fail. And the miracles that are coming, this is the thing that's so beautiful. The miracles that are coming are going to be so astonishing that it's going to basically have everyone in a new and divine way of holiness that is just going to astonish the world. Okay, so he says this. It does not want to entrust its goods outside of its kingdom. Okay, so what's coming for humanity this is like the ticket to get on the train. It's the ticket to get on the plane. It's the ticket to get on the boat. It's where we are going to go. And it's not here fully. If it was here fully, the kingdom would be here. The kingdom would be established. Jesus said, when I find the souls who want to live in the divine will more than anything, I will give it to the world. Okay, this has not happened yet, but it's going to. So knowing our goal that we're going to enter into the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, he's telling us, prepare for this. Okay, how do you prepare for the kingdom? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. To enter into this gift is to begin to live the Catholic life, the Catholic life. So what has Jesus done? He says to Luisa, I give you the sacraments and sacramentals, the medicine. You have been redeemed, but the medicine to continue your journey for the kingdom, like the sacrament of confession, you know, we have been called by God to make that part of our life. I remember back when we were kids, when we were children, it was every once a month we went to confession, no matter what, once a month. And in this time that we're in now, where sin is all around us, basically, you know, television, newspaper, magazines, movies, personalities, there's this diving into sin. And the Lord knew this was going to happen after he sanctified us, after he, not sanctified us, after he gave us salvation. He now wants to sanctify us. He now wants to bring us out of this darkness into his light. He has redeemed us. Now he wants to sanctify us. This is the time of sanctification. So it does not want to entrust the divine goods outside of the kingdom of God, because it knows that if they get out of its boundaries, they shall neither be appreciated or understood. It's like the Holy Mass. The Holy Mass is when it's understood, when it's longed for, you want to be at Holy Mass. You want to go to Holy Mass. And there's all sorts of excuses not to. When you understand the power of the healing of the sacrament of confession, penance, you want to go there. You're longing to go there. You know, you hear Our Lady, you know, she asks us to, Our Lady of Fatima asks us to pray the rosary, wear the scapular, and attend First Saturday Mass, which helps us to understand that this new and divine way of holiness that's coming for all of the world is ours if we wish. It's ours. And so we have a longing for the sacraments. We have a longing for the sacramentals. I got a call yesterday, just, can we find these medals? They were describing these medals to me, you know, the sacramentals. And so we're on a search for where can we find these certain medals that the mystics talk about. And when we find them, it gives us a peace. With what Jesus is telling Louisa, it gives us a peace, gives us a desire to really begin to live this abundant life. So Jesus says this, more so if they're not appreciated or understood, more so since the kingdom alone knows how to preserve and to keep its goods alive. So how the divine will knows how to preserve and keep the goods that God wants to give us alive. They're not stale. They're not stagnant. They bring us to a new awareness of our God. So the only one who lives in the divine will is capable of, number one, comprehending this celestial language. The celestial language that we are in, a lot of people say, I don't understand Louisa. Well, we haven't learned it yet. Keep on studying. Keep on reading. Why? I read these things and it confuses me. Keep on reading. The mystical language is mystical. You know, when Jesus says, I want you to open your mouth like a bird so I can fill your mouth, fill you with food, fill you. You know, when you think about it, well, I don't want worms. No, you're thinking humanly. Divinely, God wants us to be open to him so he can fill us with divine understandings. So basically, number one, you can comprehend the celestial language. Number two, you can receive its gifts. See, if you're not wanting this, you're not looking for the gifts. Jesus says, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open to you. The more you seek in the divine will, the more you're going to find. And this goes on for all eternity. Number three, you will be looking at its beauties. You'll be mesmerized. That's why I love the calendar. Every day, that's the word. You're just mesmerized. You're looking at the beauties that Jesus is teaching us. He's leading us. He's guiding us. He's directing us. He wants us to understand this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied we were going to enter into. And then four, you form one single life with God's most holy divine will. So as you preserve, as you desire to enter into this gift, you understand the language, the celestial language, you receive its gifts, you look at its beauties, and you form one single life with God. It's not just doing the will of God. You're entering into the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Again, and nobody has this fullness yet. Yes, we want this fullness. We desire this fullness. But Jesus says, when I find the souls who are living in this fullness, I will give it to the world. And he hasn't given it to the world yet. Why? Because we still have a long way to go. It's a long way to go. And yes, I know people that say, oh, I've been reading for like 5, 10 years, 20 years. Luisa studied this for 70 years. And then she said, Lord, take me to heaven when you're ready. He says, when you're full, I will take you to heaven. It was 9 years after she stopped writing when she didn't have the command of her spiritual director to continue to write. It was 9 years later that God took her. That was Jesus lying? No, there's so much to be drawn into this gift. The gift of the divine will, Jesus says, is this ocean of love. The gift of the divine will is to dive into this infinite ocean of love and drown. Why would he say that? To die? No, it's to die to your human to begin to live in the divine. So Jesus says he wants us to possess this one single life with him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He wants us to possess this one single life with Jesus, Mary, and Luisa, the three who possess it. On the other hand, the one who does not want to live in the divine will is incapable of comprehending its goods. I was just with some friends of mine, good friends, and they were incapable of saying yes. And it's not because they're bad. It's because they don't want to live in the divine will. They say, oh yeah, I want to live in the divine will, but I'm going to do it my way. I love St. Teresa. I want to follow her little way. And I said, well, that's saintly, good, and holy, but it's not the divine will. The divine will goes through Luisa, period. She is the newborn. She is the firstborn. And a lot of souls say, oh, yeah, yeah, I love Luisa, but I love St. Catherine of Siena. I love what she says. I love, individuals who are not even saints yet, you know, basically. Luisa was called Luisa La Santa. As Father Bucci says, the church is going to find out one day that she is the saint of the divine will. So it's as we enter into this, as we draw ourselves into reading, studying, and putting this into practice, well, we're entering into the single point of God, the single life of God. So they're first of all incapable of comprehending its goods. The soul who does not want to live in the divine will, their tongue will not be able to speak this celestial language. You haven't learned it. The soul will not be able to adapt to the language of my kingdom. I mean, how many times have we gone to a foreign country and just sit there and just, I have no idea what they're saying. I think this is what they're saying. Sometimes when they're pointing, you understand a little bit better. But Jesus is saying, I want you to comprehend these goods. I want you to speak the language. He says, nor will that soul be able to look at the divine beauties of the divine will. When you read, again, going back to the calendar, when you read every day, you're entering into divine beauties. On the other hand, the one who does not want to live, the desire to read, the wanting to live in the divine will is to the desire to read, the desire to study, the desire to put this into practice. And this is what our God is trying to help us with. So it says very clearly, nor shall you be able to look at the beauties. You won't be able to receive this new and divine way of holiness that Jesus is asking us to enter into. She shall remain blind because of the intense light that reigns in it. Okay, so here is another beauty that God is calling. So on the contrary, the person who's not reading, because you don't understand the language, you don't understand the beauty that's there, you don't understand this intense light, this divine light of the divine will. This is something that our God wants us to begin to live. He wants us to dive into this infinite ocean and drown. Okay, so in volume 19:9-7, 1926, I, Luisa, was about to resume my flight in the supreme volition to make my usual visit in the kingdom of the divine will. Okay, this becomes our prayer. Jesus says, the gift that I give to the little children, the holy divine will, is bilocation. Okay, this is not the bilocation of the saints. This is Jesus taking us where he, like a little baby, taking us where he wants to bring us. And the visit in the kingdom is where Louisa would go often. When her body froze and she couldn't move, God would take her through the universe, take her to the kingdom, take her to Bethlehem. See, there's no time or space with the divine will. Take her to Jerusalem, take her to Capernaum, take her to Cana. This becomes your prayer life. When you pray the rosary and you go through the mysteries, you can go to all 20 mysteries. You could, and beyond. It's let Jesus take you where he wants to take you. Be with Jesus and Louisa at Torre Desperado. You know, so here she, watch what Jesus is doing. Enjoy the places where God wants to take you. So he says, I was about to resume my flight in the Supreme Volition to make my usual visit to the kingdom, in the kingdom of the divine will, to extend myself within its boundaries in order to let my I love you, my adoration, my thank you echo for each created thing. That was Adam's job. God produced all animals, vegetables, and minerals for Adam to be the voice, thanking God, praising God, loving God in the name of everyone and everything. So you have your prayer life becomes, he just explodes your prayer life into adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and blessing God. These are the rounds. And when we pray the rounds every day, our whole prayer life changes. Okay, so what does she say? She said, I extended within the boundaries of the kingdom my I love you. To whom? To the Lord. Jesus, pray in my praying. I want you, Lord, to praise the Father with your voice in me. Lord, I want you, Jesus, I want you to adore the Father with your adoration in me. Lord Jesus, I want to thank the Father. I want to echo this I love you with your voice in me. And then when you say, I love you, it's Jesus, Mary, and Louisa praising God within you. It's for each created thing. And then Jesus says, moving in my interior, Jesus told me there is such union and identification between the divine will and the human as to be comparable to the union that exists between the sun and the solar rays from the sun, between its heat and its light coming to the earth. See, we participate in the perfect prayer of Jesus, the perfect prayer of Mary, which are the rounds. If you haven't begun to pray the rounds, Jesus says to Louisa from volume 16 to volume 36, this is the prayer life that I want you to have. It would not be right of the sun to dominate with its rays and to receive the subjection so as to form its kingdom of light over its very solar circumferences. He says, so it is for my divine will. When the creature withdraws from my divine will, it remains as though without a kingdom, without dominion, without subjects. So the divine will, God is calling us to participate in the kingdom, to have the dominion of the fiat in us, to be the subjects, if you want to say, of this great kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So when we're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, we're out of the kingdom. You can't be there. You can't. Jesus says, I am peace. If you're not peaceful, I can't be there. And what I'm hearing from a number of people throughout the world is basically, I got to worry about the situation that I'm in. I've got my children, my grandchildren are not part of what God wants. And Jesus said to Louisa, there's not going to be many that will do this. And since Jesus says, I love all of humanity, he says to Louisa, would you do this for them? Would you stand in the breach for them? Now, when you're in the divine will, your family's with you. Your neighbors are with you. Your coworkers are with you. Everyone is with you. Why? This is the life of Jesus. This is the life of Mary. And there was what God wants for us is to bring them into the kingdom. So why does Our Lady cry all the time? Why is this happening? Is because there's no one praying for them. There's no one standing in the breach for them. Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites. What Jesus is asking us to do is stand in the breach, not just for our family, our friends, our neighbors, but for all of the children of God. This is what God is asking. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life, and he needs us to cooperate. He needs us to give our fiat. So as Jesus is saying here, when the creature withdraws from the divine will, it's as though without a kingdom, without dominion, without subjects, and it feels itself being robbed. This is the divine will, robbed of that which is its own. We belong to God. We were created by God. We are called to be children of God. We are called to begin to live this abundant life. So each act that does not depend on its volition is tearing, is a theft against its light. So every act that you're doing outside of the divine will is tearing. It's a thief. It's against what God has planned. When you're doing your own human will, it's not the will of God. Not my will, but your will be done. That docility, that surrender that Jesus said, he's asking us to begin to live. So he says very, very clearly, he says, robbed of its light, converted into darkness. See, when you do your own human will, it's converted into darkness. And therefore, God is saying to us, listen to what happens when you leave the divine will. This light that God has breathed into you, if we're not doing the will of God, it agonizes more than a mother who sees the fruit of her womb being snatched away from her. Not to give the soul life, but to kill that soul. So the losses that my divine will suffers when the creature is not united to the center, not one with the kingdom, does not live of the divine will, the volition of its light, and our divine losses of infinite value. Jesus says, I want you to become my divine masterpiece of infinite value. And when you're not in the divine will, he says, it's such a loss for God. So the evils for the creature, the ugliness that they acquire, are incapable and are indescribable, incalculable and indescribable. They're so horrific. And Jesus is calling us back to live in his will. Now, the saints did the will of God in a human manner. So Jesus is saying to us, I want you to even repair the lives of the saints. Well, they're saints, but they only did the will of God. Now Jesus is saying, I want you to live in the will of God, to give the saints a double heaven by repairing and redoing everything that the saints have thought, said, and done. So he says, my divine will remains without a kingdom in the creature, and they remain stripped without the divine inheritance of the Father. See, it's not just to do the will of God, 1 through 10, volume 1 through 10. It's to learn to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's 11 through 19, volume 11 through volume 19. To finally get to the point of receiving the divine inheritance of the Father, volume 20 through volume 36. My will remains without the kingdom in the souls when they are stripped, when they are without their divine inheritance, with no right to any good whatsoever. Therefore, there is nothing more important, there is nothing greater than that shall establish that, number one, balance between God and man, number two, divine order, number three, harmony with God, this oneness with God, number four, the likeness between God and man. That is my most holy divine will. So the balance, the order, the harmony, the likeness is what God is calling us to enter into. And then Jesus says, this is why I, God, want to make known what my divine will is about. And the human will, the human will is fallen. We've been redeemed, but we're fallen. We go to confession each week. so that they may reconcile. When this great event occurs, and it's going to occur, my will may acquire its kingdom, and the creatures may be given back all the goods that they lost. All the goods that Adam lost. Adam knew everything. He knew all the sciences. And that's now going to be given back to humanity. We are still in a fallen nature. We were reading sacred scripture this past week, and Paul says, we have been granted salvation. Okay. We rejoice in the fact that we have been granted salvation. What we have to understand is God wants to grant us sanctification. It's to go to that next step of creation, Old Testament, redemption, New Testament, Testament of the Kingdom, sanctification. Why did God give us the Book of Heaven? And that's why when you listen to the Archbishop, when you listen to the Archbishops and even the Cardinals who have read Luisa, they say that we're going to enter this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II has talked about, that God has planned from the beginning of time. Why is everything falling apart? Seems to be falling apart. Is because God's getting everything in order for his kingdom. The goal is the kingdom. The promise is the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to receive all the gifts that have been taken away from us because of Adam's fall. Jesus took our place, redeemed us. We have this salvation. And now Jesus says, now is the time for sanctification. If we're focused on the things of this world, we're going to be very upset. If we're focused on the kingdom, we're going to be very happy. So Luisa speaks in volume 19, 1926. In the kingdom of the supreme will, there shall be no laws, but everything shall be love. Somebody says, people say to me, well, what's the rules for living in the divine will? Well, how do we do this? It's your heart. How much do you love Jesus? That's what you have to do. You have to fall in love with God. What do I do? How do we do this? What do we read, study, and listen to Jesus teach you? He's going to show you that to give up this world is the best thing in the world because the kingdom is coming. If you're hanging on to the world, what did the old prayer say? Jesus is coming back to judge the world by fire. You've got a few fires around the world somewhere. This is just the reaction of the devil because he knows the fire is coming, the fire of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This fire that's going to come upon the earth, Jesus says, is going to consume the world in love. So again, there's no laws. What do you want? And it's not the things of the earth. Everything shall be love. And one's nature shall be converted into divine law in such a way that of its own, it shall want to do what the supreme will wants to do. It's falling in love with God. It's diving into this infinite ocean of love and drowning. Now, I want nothing but what God wants. So that's the stripping that Jesus is doing with each and every one of us. He's taking away from us our earthly loves to fall in love with him. Now, while I was thinking of this, my always lovable Jesus, with his usual light that he sent forth from his intelligence, told me laws and commands are for servants, for slaves, for rebels. He says very, very clearly, in the kingdom of the supreme fiat, there shall be no servants, no slaves, no rebels, but each soul shall be of one will, and that is of God and of the creature, entering into that prime act of God. Therefore, one shall be the life of God and man. May your kingdom come on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. That's what Jesus is saying. This is also the reason why I am saying so much and so many things about my most holy divine will to you, Luisa, and to those who are reading this gift, to abound in its gifts, not only for you, Luisa, but for any soul who wants to come to live in my kingdom so that she may lack nothing. She may need the source of the goods within herself. The kingdom of God is within you. So he says this, I would not act as a God that I am, great and powerful, rich and magnanimous, if in having to constitute the kingdom of my divine will, if I did not endow those souls who must live in it. That's us. He's going to endow our souls who must live in the divine will with the prerogatives and qualities that my very divine will possesses. One with God, fused with God. And even more, you must know that just as all things have come out of that one single act of God, that prime act of God, so much everything must return to that single act that has no successions of acts. It's the one prime act of God. But only the soul who leaves everything that is human to live only that of my divine will can return to that single act. What does that mean, to leave everything that is human? The fallen human nature. We're going to enter into the divine human of Jesus and Mary. This fallen nature has to go. Only the soul who leaves everything to live only of my divine will can return to that single act, because as the soul lives of the divine will, everything she does converts into life. Why? It's Jesus and Mary through Louisa in you that's doing it. And her acts are naturally incorporated and identified with the eternal light of the Son of my divine will. And as a consequence, these souls become one single act in the one single act of the divine will, the prime act of God, the fiat of God. That's where we belong. We're not to be separated from God in any way, shape, or form. So Jesus says this, he tells us where we are in these times that are so stormy with a dizziness whirl of evil. I could not give a greater grace than to make him known that my divine will wants to give the great gift of the kingdom of my supreme fiat. And as a confirmation of this, I am preparing it with you, within you, Louisa, the firstborn, the newborn of the divine will, so that these many knowledges and gifts that you have been writing in the book of heaven, that nothing will be lacking to the triumph of my most holy divine will. Nothing's going to be lacking. This great and magnificent gift is going to be given to the world. Is it here yet? No. Are we there yet? We're close, but the fullness isn't here yet. Therefore, be attentive on the deposit of this kingdom that I am, God's name, I am making in you, Louisa, and now wants to see that in us. So you must know that my sacred heart is swollen. It agonizes and it sighs because I, God, want to make known the kingdom of the supreme fiat. I want to make known the great goods that are in it and the great good that those who shall possess it will receive. It is precisely in my sacred heart that I keep it, and I feel my heart explode, for I want to let it out. See, Jesus said, the divine will is seeing the sacred heart, being in the sacred heart. That's the divine will. Now, what does Saint Margaret, when she saw the sacred heart, its heart burning with flame? And then Saint Faustina saw the sacred heart of Jesus, two rays of light coming from the heart. Jesus says this, when the divine will reigns, you're going to see 360 degree rays emanate from my heart. You're going to begin to understand the love of God. You're going to receive it and you're going to possess it. So he says, he wants to let this out. Don't you want then to give me this relief so that by letting out this divine will, my heart may deflate? You had your thumb with a hammer. It swells up. His heart is suffering. It's ready to explode. He wants, after 6,000 years, he says, now I want humanity to return to what I have planned from the beginning of time. He says, to letting this out, let my heart deflate so it shall not have to agonize and sigh with sorrowful sighs anymore. And you shall do this by making known what I manifest to you about my divine will. How do we make known what God has manifested to Louisa? By reading by studying. And it's a language of heaven. When you try to tell somebody about the divine will, you just say, it's great. It's wonderful. You just got to read it. And they go, haven't got time. Sorry, haven't got time. I've got other important things to do. Which says to you, you make it known to yourself and they will know it. You begin to live this and it will be given to others. He says very clearly, he says, do this by making known what I, God, manifest to you, Louisa, about my divine will. Because when you do this, you give me, God, the field in order to open the ways, to prepare the place in which I, God, must lay the kingdom of my divine will in those souls who say fiat. And if you do not manifest what I say to you, you close these very ways and my heart swells like a broken arm, a broken thumb. He's saying to us, watch what I'm going to do. Let this love that's within my sacred heart come to all of humanity. Let people begin to see the 360 degrees of my heart. So he says, therefore, let me do, and you follow me and do not be concerned. Do not be concerned about what? Your family, your friends, your neighbors. You say, Jesus, I trust in you. Here's the situation. God knows it. And I surrender them to you and to your mother. Lord, bring them to heaven. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. Volume 19, 9:12, 1926. It seems unseemly for the soul who possesses my divine will as life to occupy herself with anything else. It seems unseemly for anyone who says they possess my divine life and occupy themselves with anything else. Now, I know people that love the saints, and they say to me, oh, I can't stop praying the prayers of St. Gertrude. I can't stop praying the prayers. Well, do it in the divine will first, and then learn how to pray the rounds. You know, get the book on the rounds. So that there's four books for basically each season, for the ordinary time, for Advent, for Lent, and for Easter. Read them, study them, fall in love with God. That's what the rounds are about. Rather, you should remain firm on how to expand the boundaries of his kingdom in your heart so that the kingdom may triumph, that it may be formed in you, and you may transmit it to the poor generations who are now wiggling. They're squirming about and forming the current of the chasms into which they shall be swept. Think of the flooding, all the cars going down the street, all the bodies going down the street. Think of the fires. You have to understand, Jesus is preparing the world for the kingdom. He's getting everything in order. He's getting everything in order. And he's asking us to work with him to so that this triumph, this formation, this kingdom can be transmitted to the poor, to the human generations. Otherwise, everything's going to go to where they are going to be swept. But the chastisements are also necessary, Jesus says, and this shall serve to prepare the ground so that the kingdom of the supreme fiat may be formed in the midst of the human family. He already did this with the flood. Genesis 6, he's already done this. He's done this with Jesus dying on the cross, washing the world clean with his blood. And now he's doing it with fire, the fire of the divine will. And again, the fire for us is going to be ecstasy. So many lives, listen to this, shall be an obstacle to the triumph of my divine will. And those lives shall disappear from the face of the earth. Those that are not with God are not going to be here. So we praying for everybody, that everybody be ready for the kingdom. He says, so many lives that are obstacles of the triumph of my kingdom will disappear from the face of the earth. And therefore, many chastisements of destruction shall take place. Others shall be formed by creatures themselves to destroy one another. That's the plagues. That's weapons, nuclear war. However, this must not worry you. Pray that everything may take place. He's cleaning your house for the triumph of the kingdom of the supreme fiat. My daughter, My holy humanity possessed the kingdom, my divine will, so much that my whole life was dependent upon it, and being dependent upon the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, this fiat of God, I, Jesus, had the intelligence of the supreme volition. I had its gaze, its breath, its operating steps, its motion, and the eternal heartbeat. Who is the one that gets us through this? Jesus himself and Mary, his sacred heart, Mary's immaculate heart. Where do you find it? Through Louisa, the book of heaven. That he gave, Father Bucci said to us, the saints was for their time. Louisa is for our time. And this is what's so great. He says very, very clearly. I form the supreme fiat, its life and its goodness in my holy humanity, his sacred heart. Do you see then what it means to form the kingdom in you? Now, and I was telling us, this is what I'm going to do. I, God, must transmit this divine will in you, Louisa, that my holy humanity possesses, and shall administer to you, Louisa, its thought, its gaze, its breath, its everything. And I possess everything that I, God, possess for the formation of it. Then he says, see how much I love this kingdom. I place my whole life within it. My pains, my death, my disposal. Look at my life, Jesus says. That's why we pray the rosary. Look at my life through the loving eyes of my mother. I place my whole life, my pains, my death at its disposal. And number one, its foundation. Number two, its guard. Number three, its defense. Number four, its support. How's this going to live in us? The foundation has to be there. The guard has to be there. The defense has to be there. The support has to be there. And he says, and I leave out nothing of myself that shall not serve to maintain what? The triumph and the absolute dominion of my kingdom and the full vigor. So as you read, you're going to be triumphant. As you read, the divine will is going to have its dominion in you. As you read, it's the full vigor of God from the beginning of time in you. Then he says, therefore, do not be surprised if you see the different stages of my age, of my works, as though being repeated in you, Louisa, and now in us. And if you see me now as a child, now young, now crucified, this is the kingdom of my divine will present in you. So he's identifying his life with us, our life with him. Louisa, and my whole life lines up inside and outside of you, as guard and defense and as of my kingdom. Therefore, be attentive. Be attentive to what is going on around you. Where is Jesus? And then some fears assail you. When some fears assail you, think that you are not alone. How are we going to get through this? I'm with Jesus. I'm with Mary through Louisa. But you have my whole life as help to form this kingdom of mine within you and continue your flight constantly. In the unity of the supreme light of the divine will. It is there that I, God, await you. There to give you my surprises in return. To give you my lessons as you read the book of heaven. This is a glorious time to be alive. And our God is doing this and he's asking us to give our fiat. And when we give our fiat, how glorious this is. It's a new and divine way of holiness that our God is giving to us. And, we'll end there and be back in about 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.